1990s Celtics history includes 1990s Olympic history. We're talking Dream Team on this Friday, Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go! Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here on this Friday, just in case you don't remember what day it is, it's a Friday. And if you do remember what day it is, that means you're working, which is good. So congratulations on still being employed. I'm happy for you. That's really important nowadays. Really appreciate you continuing to download this podcast Monday through Friday. Still here for you on this Monday through Friday, talking Celtics history. Today, Celtics history goes to the Olympic side in the Dream Team and Larry Bird's involvement in the Dream Team and this real flashpoint NBA history. And now we're lucky that it involves the Boston Celtics and Larry Bird. So we're going to get into that. Thanks to our title sponsor today, Built Bar. It's the most delicious protein bar you're going to find on the market. It tastes like a candy bar, and it can do that without giving you all the added sugars, added carbs. It's just protein, low calorie, and great taste. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase. Now, Chuck McKinney and Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com join me to continue our conversation of the 1990 Celtics and Larry Bird's involvement in the Dream Team. Let's talk Dream Team.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
let's put the 90s mess just aside for a second. Let's talk Dream Team. Bird's on the Dream Team. And this is Bird. Does he deserve to be on the Dream Team?
Hell yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he did.
He deserved it.
Of course.
Even if it was only because he was an icon. He might not have been able to play that well anymore because of his back, but he saved the league with Magic. He and Michael and Magic were the three, the main men. He had to be on there.
Yes. And that's kind of what I was getting at. That did his play suggest that in 1992 he was one of the greatest players on the planet and should be on there because he was so great? No, not necessarily, but he was the icon. Like you say, he was the icon. And he and Magic deserved to be on that team, even in their bench roles. I mean, that team was carried by, you know, Jordan and Pippen and Barkley, especially, and Carmelo. They were a lot of teams. They didn't need two other guys that were going to go out there and potentially give you 20 points a game. Having Larry on there and just to be there and come on in and play a little bit, like that absolutely was one of the most amazing moments to witness that with him on that team.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we saw glimpses of that in the Last Dance where they showed, you know, Michael kind of riding Magic and Larry for being the older guys. But I think without a doubt he was going to be on that team, and he wanted that. I think, you know, because when we think of Larry, he does step back a bit, but I think obviously he's an alpha, and I think he knew that this was kind of an iconic moment for the league. When you look at all the players that were amassed like that for the first time, and you could recognize how special it was. So of course he wanted to be a part of that. So yeah, he had every right to be on that team. He especially if they were, you know, reserving a spot for a college player, Leitner, Jesus Christ. Which I still don't.
Does anybody even acknowledge Christian Leitner as part of that team? I mean, come on, just forget it.
I still don't understand that to this day. But you know, and Bird just, you know, it seems like from, you know, again, I don't have too many recollections of what was going on behind the scenes, but just outside of what we're seeing now in the Jordan documentary, but Bird had a diminished role somewhat, but when you look at the minutes played and Chuck Daly really kind of spread everything out evenly, and you know, most of the games were blowouts anyway, and it was just a spectacular time. And I'll, you know, I had my Team USA gray t-shirt, right? I mean, I think I just, and I remember the Bird jerseys. That was just such a fun time, even as they were steamrolling teams.
Angola.
You know, right? Angola was like the first matchup, right? But there was not competitive basketball, but just, you know, I think just watching the U.S. flex their basketball dominance was enough. And it was just, and I'm sure there's this photo, which I remember, which you, I think it's, Jordan playing cards. And then in the background is Larry Bird, like sitting on a
Jordan playing ping pong
bag or something. Oh, they're playing. Yeah. Bird's got like, I don't know, some Miller Lights or something in front. But it's typical Larry, right? It's that, you know, he's kicking back, drinking while some of the other guys were competing at something. But yeah, that was just such an exciting time. And, you know, it was so, you know, nowadays it's like guys are like, you know, am I going to be a part of Team USA? And, you know, the novelty is kind of worn off a bit, but for some of these players, but that was just a once in a lifetime.
Back then, we needed that flex, Chuck. You know, we needed to remind the world where basketball came from, because we had that record of never even losing a game. And then that one game against Russia happened in 1972, where USA lost after the game was the finish was replayed three times. Till finally Russia won. So, and then there had been other failures. I think 88, right? We didn't win in the Olympics. So this was a response to that. The Dream Team was, and, we needed to do that. And it was a spectacle and nobody else had a prayer. And I know that with purists, that didn't sit too well, but for the rest of us, hey, we were happy to see it because, like you say, once in a lifetime.
Generally speaking, if you've gone for protein bars, you've had to make some sort of sacrifice, calories or carbs or something like that. It's hard to get the protein that you want, the taste that you want without having all that added stuff. But now Built Bar has come along and changed the game. It tastes like a candy bar and it comes in a lot of different flavors. It's going to give you all of the protein that you want without all the added sugars, without all the added carbs. It's just a bar that's covered in chocolate, 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, a variety of flavors for people who can eat nuts, for people with nut allergies. If you're gluten sensitive or want to be gluten free, they're gluten-free options as well. You can have yourself a Built Bar like I do in the morning, or sometimes I like to mix it up and throw it in after a workout. If you have a particularly hard workout, you want to get these nutrients into your body right away, you can do so in a very healthy way. For example, something like the Peanut Butter Brownie Bar, which is also very, very good, you can get 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. That's it. Go ahead and compare that to something like a Clif Bar or one of the other bars that are on the market. I invite you to do that. You're not going to find this kind of flavor, this kind of protein with that few calories, those few carbs, those few sugars. You're just not going to do that. And you can also get this for $10 off your first order if you go to builtbar.com and get yourself a box for yourself. You can mix and match. You can find a flavor and just pick all of that flavor, whatever you want. $10 off your first order with the promo code Locked On. That's at builtbar.com, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Use the promo code Locked On for $10 off your first order.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, the purist talk, that's such bullshit. Like, you know, what are you talking? Everyone else in the world, and this was the conversation that was being had back then. every other country in the world is sending their best players, regardless of their professional status. Those guys on the Russian team and the Croatian team and the German team, they were playing in professional leagues in Germany. It was the United States that had some kind of thing with the amateurism. Like, amateurism was okay around everything else, but basketball had this different kind of standard. So, yeah, it was like, oh, all right, well, if we're going to allow those guys to send their pros, then screw it. Let's send our pros and kind of show them. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is the dominant. And that, not only are we talking about, like, in that moment, it's about, you know, wrapping yourself in the flag and, you know, USA, USA. But now having the benefit of the retrospect, that was an especially important moment for global basketball, because now look at some of the legends that we've had that have come from overseas. Look at these young players that we have coming in from overseas that are the future of the game. Dirk Nowitzki doesn't happen without the Dream Team. Luka Doncic doesn't happen without the Dream Team. All of these great international players that came after Team USA, after that team goes out there and dominates and becomes a spectacle, all of these players from around the world see that and go, I want to play with them or against them. That's what makes this more important. We didn't know it at the time, but now we know that Dream Team is essentially like the meteor hitting Earth and bringing all this other stuff in and creating life. You know, like this is something that created a new world of basketball, and its impact is much bigger than we knew at the time.
Yeah, and you know, it was going to happen, right? Because even if it doesn't happen in 92, if the quote-unquote purists win out, with the push that – because the NCAA was losing some of their – eventually started to lose some of their better players who were bypassing, right, the NCAA as a whole. They were just going – it was high school straight to pros. And that started, what, in 95 with KG or 96 and then Kobe in 97 and then further on up to LeBron – 2003. So even if the purists had won out and they had held off, you know, at some point they would have said, wow, well, we're not, you know, our best players aren't even going into the NCAAs. They're, you know, going right into the NBA. We should just, you know, I think that they were, it was the right move it was the right time, seeing the shift that, you know, that we saw from players eventually bypassing college. And I never had a problem with it, like you said. It was just so exciting to watch. And you imagine, you know, the money that they made off the marketing on that was just had to be astronomical. So I don't think anybody's having any regrets about that decision.
Oh, no, not at all. This is also an important kind of symbolic passing of the torch, because Larry and Magic were at the end of their careers. I mean, this literally was the last basketball that Bird played for. And you see the practice. It's funny. You see in The Last Dance, and I've seen that footage in other mediums, other documentaries, Magic and Michael going at it. And Larry Bird's like on his stomach, like laying down in the corner, just kind of watching, which is hilarious. But, Magic is talking trash. He pisses off Michael Jordan. Jordan goes off and dominates this intra-squad scrimmage in practice. And it's kind of like the moment where Jordan says, all right, I'm now in this. I'm now one of them. And he takes the baton and runs with it because he's younger. But even in that Last Dance documentary, you hear Jordan talk about, I'm finally in that mix with Larry and Magic. It's always Larry and Magic. It's always those two. When he finally wins a championship, he's talking about those two. When he hadn't won a championship, he was talking about those two. Now he gets to play with those two, and because of just the timing of it all, he's the clear-cut guy. He's too good. He's too young, too dominant. And he now ascends into that mix. And to hear the reverence with which Michael Jordan is speaking of those guys, it shows how important this Dream Team was. And I really am hammering this home because now in 2020, social media, YouTube age, you hear all of these little kids talking about, oh, Larry Bird wouldn't, you know, Jordan would score 100 a game on Larry Bird. Like, no. Those guys back then, Jordan respects Larry Bird as one of the greats of the game. Jordan aspired to be in that realm. And respect, if you respect Michael Jordan, you got to respect how he respected Bird and Magic. So this is also a flashpoint in NBA history where Jordan takes this baton and becomes the greatest player in the game for basically the entire decade.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're talking about the passing of the baton and such, and it's there's a certain two-time NBA champ, all NBA point guard who, you know, helped bridge the, you know, the Celtics and the Bulls and the Lakers and the Celtics, who was cut out of this. And I can't get enough of the Isaiah Thomas component to all of this. I mean, I knew there was always animosity there and why he wasn't part of this team. I still don't like the Pistons. I didn't like them. I don't like them now. Isaiah's had some comments in the past that I'm sure he's apologized for. But he's always been, one of our, most hated sort of opponents. But just to read, now to see that, to see like, you know what, a lot of other people didn't like him. It's just been satisfying.
He earned it.
Right, I love that it's satisfying.
He worked hard to get hated.
And let's not forget, I mean, he went through some ugly times with the Knicks. I mean, that whole sexual harassment lawsuit and such, he has a big black mark on him. And it's always confusing to me how certain people can survive that, because that happened to him and you thought, wow, he's done.
But charming, Chuck. A few
years go by and he makes a couple appearances on NBA TV. And the next thing you know, people start to forget. And then he's all over the place. And you're right. He has that smile and that charm. And you're like, hey, wait a minute. You know, not only was he vilified in the, 80s and early 90s, but there was this entire scandalous sexual harassment, workplace lawsuit with the Knicks. Like, he's lucky he's even being interviewed.
Right.
I mean, come on. Why do some guys survive that sort of thing and other guys are banished forever?
He's a charming guy. He's got that, like you said, he's got that smile. He's good on TV. When he's on TV, he's good. You know, he knows the game. He's good at explaining the game. Like, if I didn't know anything about him before, I'm just watching him on TV. I like him on TV. Like you see, you're like, oh man, this Isaiah, he's not so bad. Then you go back and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, he wasn't great. It's funny to me that when you work that hard to be hated, when you embrace that with the Pistons, when you do that walk off without shaking hands against the Bulls, when you do all that stuff, when you embrace the Bad Boys Pistons, you have to understand, like, yeah, this is probably a repercussion of that. And you know what? You've got to be okay with it because you got a couple of titles out of it. And, you know, you're one of the all-time greats because of it. People respect the game. They just don't like you as a person. But, like, that's how it goes. You worked hard to be this person, like Mike said. You chose to be that person. And so that's going to be how you're judged. No one in Boston is going to shed a tear for the guy who said if Larry Bird was just another, if Larry Bird was back black, he'd just be another good player. Like that's interjecting something that was unnecessary at the mm-hmm. time. And even though Larry Bird was cool with it, like the fact that he even did that, I thought was disrespectful to a guy that works his ass off at the same game that you play, that has had a lot of success, the best of success, championships and MVPs, and you're sitting there saying, eh, eh. He didn't earn it. Like, it's not even about the racial thing. Like, that's, you're going to think what you're going to think. But you're saying he didn't earn it, that he's just being ascended because of this, which I understand that some players who were white and good were ascended because of that. But that's not Larry. Like, Larry's just great. He didn't matter black, white, whatever. That was just a level of disrespect to a person who was dominating him at the time. So no one in Boston is going to be a fan of Isaiah's. No one in Chicago is going to be a fan of Isaiah's. Even Magic had a falling out with Isaiah. Like, they kissed at, you know, in a playoff game. And even Magic was like, nah, I'm done with you. Like, that says a lot. I have a little secret weapon when it comes to learning new things and getting ahead. It's called the Blinkist app. It's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn, especially as you get older, especially as you get busier. And if you don't have free time, it's hard to read and learn new things and work on your own personal development. But Blinkist is very unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, on the web, however you want to use it. Blinkist takes the best points, the key takeaways, need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, boils it down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Look, successful people, business leaders, Coach Brad Stevens, they're all well known for reading lots of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. With its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during a commute, a lunch break, while you exercise. There are 12 million people right now using Blinkist, and it's a massive, growing library. Self-help, business, health, history, all kinds of titles, the latest titles, bestsellers, as well as classic nonfiction titles that you always wanted to read but never had time to. I happen to be going on a long drive. I'm going to be downloading a ton of books on Blinkist because I'm going to get through a lot of different things that I've been meaning to get to on this long drive. I'm going to have like an entire new library of information at my disposal because it boils everything down, gives me the key takeaways in only 15 minutes so I can learn and incorporate these things in my life right away. You can get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, all for one low price with Blinkist. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for you. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% on your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Isaiah Thomas did that and so much more. I mean, the whole thing with the Bird remarks, if you even leave out the racial factor, Isaiah just came across as a sore loser. And then he did the same thing when he and the Pistons walked off the court in, I think it was in 91, right, with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Sore loser. Don't want to shake hands afterward. And, you know, he didn't just screw up those things that you guys mentioned. You remember there used to be a minor league called the Continental Basketball Association?
Yeah, the old CBA.
The CBA. Yeah. at some point, he became the owner of that league.
Right. That's
He ran it into the ground.
It was 1998 to 2000, according to Wikipedia. And yes, it had been in existence for decades. And in 2 years, he ran it into the ground, went bankrupt, and it folded. That's how we got the G League, because the NBA needed the development league, so they started the D League, which became the G League. But that's how we got the Maine Red Claws, because Isaiah Thomas was terrible at managing the CBA. And then he tried broadcasting, announcing. He was bad at that. And then, as you said, Chuck, the whole Knicks thing, not just poor management, but being sued for sexual harassment. I mean, everything he's done since he's been a player has been negative. And he, any grief he gets, he deserves. He didn't even have to do that. The Pistons had so much talent. Why did they have to be bullies? Why did they have to be the bad boys and make the game into a fight? I could never understand it. They could have won just by outplaying the other team. They had that level of talent. And yet they just, you know, the Jordan rules that they had for MJ. I mean, yeah, no wonder he hated them. They beat his ass up every time he went to the basket.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that team and the talent that they had from Isaiah to Dantley, Aguirre before him, Dumars, Vinnie Johnson. Like, they had some really talented basketball players on that team, yet the entire persona was kind of based around Laimbeer and Mahorn. And then when Rodman came into the mix, but Isaiah was that was his team. He was by far and away the best player on that team. So even though he wasn't a typical bad boy in that, at least I don't, you know, it was more of Laimbeer and Mahorn who are, and Don Sally to some degree, who were leveling the cheap shots. But if that's your team, if you're the alpha on that team and that's the style that somehow is embraced, then you're going to be responsible for it. So like I was getting at, like, you know, he's not the one. You don't see Bird throwing a ball at Isaiah's head. That's Laimbeer. Or you don't see Parrish, you know, dropping, you know, karate chopping Isaiah. It was Laimbeer. But that's Isaiah's team. And he clearly condoned that sort of behavior and embraced that role. So, you know, with the good, with the glory comes all the bad stuff. And if he's going to sit down now and kind of bitch about that, well, you know, that's his own fault.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, you've got to own it. Look, you've got to own it. So he's left off the Dream Team. You know, another guy, by the way, just since we're talking about guys who were left off, the fact that Shaquille O'Neal wasn't on that team instead of Christian Laettner, like that was something that, and I say that as a pure Duke hater. Like, Christian Laettner was a good college basketball player, and I was a huge Shaq fan in college. Like, I had Shaq posters in my room. At Emerson. I don't know, Chuck, if you ever came by my room in the little building. I think you were in Fensgate. I'm sorry, in Charlesgate. I think you were in Fensgate. You were too good for us in the Charlesgate dorms.
Well, I was 1 year ahead of you, John. So I had my – I served my time in Charlesgate. And then I, you know, graduated to the, you know, the sophomore dorms, which, you know, some of the older classmen were in Fensgate. But I don't recall your Shaq poster. No, I don't.
No, I don't think you were ever there. But anyway, yeah, Shaq instead of Christian Laettner. Christian Laettner instead of Shaq was a travesty as well. But that's all right. That's fine. All right, so that was fun. Dream Team, they win gold, and they cover up the Reebok, which was fun, pinning the Jordan, pinning the American flag to his thing, and that was just pure brilliance out of him, because Reebok, what are you going to complain, like, you take that American flag off of you, he took their ability to complain off of them. We continue the 90s next week, all next week, still talking about the 90s, so much to get to, the ML Carr era, the Rick Pitino era, there's a lot to talk about in the Rick Pitino era, and we do talk about a lot of it, Talk about an impulsive guy when it comes to trades. Not a lot of patience. And Paul Pierce enters the mix briefly, but he does enter the conversation in the 90s. So that's all next week. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Give that 5-star rating and give that good written review. Also, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase. You can get a whole box of one flavor or mix it up. It's the most delicious protein bar you're going to find on the market. And take it from a guy who has sampled a lot of protein bars. This one tastes like a candy bar, and it's not going to give you all the added sugars and carbs and all that. It's protein, it's low calorie, and you can get it for $10 off your first purchase at BuiltBar.com using the promo code LOCKEDON. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, everybody. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.